in my time in reading the book of Proverbs, there's always been this certain thing that stuck out to me that really caught my attention over time. And it was being a scorner. And I ended up having some real interest in it when I did some research on like what it meant. The Hebrew word that it gives is pronounced like lutz, and it means to make mouths at, talk arrogantly, to mock or deride, show oneself a mocker, and this one, an interpreter or like mocking of another's speech. Read a couple of Proverbs. It's interesting in Scripture that Scripture is pretty critical about this thing. Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And at first glance, I just didn't know like what this was to be a scorner. Some translations say they ridiculed Jesus, or they scoffed at him, or they scorned him when he went to raise the young damsel from her sleep. And I could imagine they were just like mocked him in such a way that really wasn't good. Proverbs 9, verse 7. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Then verse 12. If you be wise, you will be wise for yourself. But if you scorn, you alone will bear it. So like this deriding that people might do, I think something as little as like using, maybe like if someone uses a drill, but it's not like a quality drill, and then saying something like, oh, like what a piece of junk. I don't think if people did that they were totally condemned, but I think there's something unhealthy in like just having that sort of like deriding speech. But to like say something true about something isn't wrong. I just think when someone has a really bad attitude towards something or someone, that's when it's wrong. Like you can just like scorn. Okay, so one of the definitions that really stood out to me, which like over time I think I've heard people just do these things and it seemed unhealthy, but I couldn't pinpoint it. Like to be a scorner, like you can easily pinpoint an adulterer, but like this scorn thing is like hard to pinpoint. So one of the definitions was an interpreter, mocking of another's speech. And I thought of how like one example is like people, maybe even Christians would might even mock other Christians for something like celebrating Christmas. And like I think a scorner would say something like, use like some mocking thing like, oh, like let's just tell our kids a lie and celebrate this pagan holiday. But they would like have a bad attitude with it, you know. Like, it's just hard to pinpoint. I think you would just, like, over time, it would just have to manifest itself. Just what exactly this, like, unhealthy, scornful thing is. I thought of, like, telling the truth isn't wrong or a sharp rebuke. But, like, this scorn thing is... I think I've heard people scorn... or like mock what they call the love bomb gospel. And like they would say things like, oh, everyone totally agrees with the like they it's wrong to even imitate it. Like, it's so, but like, they would sort of scorn just these things, or someone could scorn or like mock the a TV preacher for it. Like, they would a TV preacher might say things like, oh, say this prayer and you're saved, you know, but someone would have like this bad attitude. One of the definitions that was interesting was to like talk arrogantly. And I was just thinking, to arrogantly imitate something that someone said that you didn't like, or someone might say something that you don't agree with, and you would arrogantly imitate them. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And that really stood out to me, like among the righteous there is favor, because like they don't mock at sin, you know, but like the righteous sort of have compassion on people. Like Jesus said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So like people, I think I've heard people have sort of a proud speech, like imitating, like wrongly imitating. Proverbs 21:24 says, proud and haughty, scorner is his name, who deals in proud wrath. And that stood out to me too. I just think, let's try more to perfect, you know, our way. But if someone would make a mistake, you know, that doesn't just mean like they're a big scorner. But I think this is something that, like, I was talking with a brother that would like manifest itself over time, just like a bad characteristic, you know, that should be weaved out. That's all I had to share. So,
yeah, thank you. I don't have much to say about it. Just appreciated it, and I did think though that mocking is another one of those words where we, I think, are very closely related. Just kind of mockingly talk about things. Something I think should not be amongst us, and not amongst me myself. And it's very easy to do. So yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Darren. And I know Brother Buddy gave a lesson on the tongue once, and this is one of the sins of the tongue, and I'm guilty of that many times. But I want to do better. Speak evil of no man. One cancer course is, I pray for President Biden. In fact, I like him as a person, President Biden. But just mention his name, if I mention it at work or something like that, it's just a domino effect, big joke, domino effect. It's one thing after another. It goes down, 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 and everyone's criticizing President Biden. Jim, he's just, you know, the thing. And so speak evil of no man, especially the ruler of a nation. And there's so many buzzwords or things like that. President Obama, for one time, he praised Bruce Jenner. He said he's a very courageous man. And then a Mennonite minister said, yeah, if you're so courageous, why don't you do it yourself, President Obama? It was President Obama who praised Bruce Jenner, who had an operation, and he said, President Obama praised him as being very courageous. And then that Mennonite minister said, well, yeah, he's so courageous, why don't you do that yourself, President Obama? Now that, it borders on that line of being scornful or sinful, not just because it's a ruler of a nation, because it's like Brother Darren said, it's getting to the thing, God will judge our heart. But on the other hand, I looked aloud, on the other side, John the Baptist didn't say to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, with a smile on his face. He didn't say that. You brood of vipers. He's very bold. And we should be bold over certain things too. And Jesus was very bold in the seven woes in Matthew 24. To the scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Very bold. Oh yeah, but that was Jesus and John, and that's not us. Paul was very bold. I don't know if we can be very bold speaking out against sin. John MacArthur, a popular evangelist, Calvinist, recently in a clip, he just said, Joel Osteen, you're just an agent of Satan. That's all it is. You're an agent of Satan. Is that scornful? You tell me. Is it true? I believe it's true. But the point is, God will judge our heart the way we say it. My wife thinks when I say certain things that, you know, your heart is not right. You have humility. But my heart, to me, is very humble when I say certain things about someone else, because as someone said once, and I'll shut up with this one, I won't mention his name. It was Finney Caravella. Okay, big joke. Finney Caravella, people come up to Finney Caravella and say, you're a liar, you're deceptive, you're rich. You know, there's so many things I don't like you about Caravella. He got money enemies. You're really a two-faced and all these things. And Finney Caravella, he comes back and says, what you're saying to me is only half as true. In reality, I'm a lot worse than those things that you tell me about. And I believe that I'm a lot worse than the people that I can point to, you know, to other things like that. We all were at one time. He died for us when we were sinners. But it's a tough line to draw. Maybe the best thing is be quiet and guard your tongue and you won't sin. But then again, if we're ashamed of Jesus and his words, we do sin. The Lord be magnified.
When I think of these things, it's very interesting to me because, like, I can think of certain people that have told me what they think of me. And when they have told it to me plainly, with no scorn, if it's been very sharp, or they've shown a certain level of contempt for my character, like, I find it a very favorable quality because they were very honest with me. And then there's some people that you find out that there's things they don't like about your character, but it takes a really long time to manifest. And it doesn't come about in a way that is so open, and it's subtle, but you're like, wow, that really surprises me. And then somebody that you can think that you really got along with well, you figure out you didn't. And then the man that you end up liking more is the man that told you to your face in the first place. Like, that's what I have thought. Like, some people that have been really just blunt or shown, like, contempt for a quality that I would have, even though it really upset me at first, in the long run, I viewed it a great deal different than if they, you know, just, like, held it in for a long time. And it bothered them, but they never told me, and then eventually it was manifest. And I don't count that as scorning. Like, I don't, even if, perhaps the person, you might not even think, viewed the situation correctly, like, their honesty is something that I cannot hold against them, but the way in which scorning manifests that I think is the worst is if a person does it in secret, and they are not willing to air what they think openly before all men, as if they were, you know, like, they would be afraid that other people would hold against them what they have to say if they wouldn't be willing to openly air that. That seems much worse. Like, and I would think it would manifest something in a person's heart that was much more, you know, in error than if they were willing to tell you openly. Whether they're right or wrong, you know, like, if they're just trying to tell you what they honestly think, it seems different to me.
Thank you, Brother Darren. While you were sharing, I was thinking about your topic, about scorn, scoffing, things that are closely related to it, maybe like sarcasm, and just how it can affect other people. Not even maybe what it means for us, but how it affects other people. And the longer I live, I guess, I don't know, it seems like you can't help but be influenced by whoever you're around in whatever setting. You just are. And I was thinking about parenting, and for every good golden nugget you give your children, I mean, maybe... Yeah, for every good little golden nugget of wisdom or knowledge or about how the world works or a principle about God that you seem to really drive home, it's the few and far between, those electric moments where they catch their dad scoffing at somebody or something or a kind of a mock. Those things stick more than all the gold nuggets. And it's just such a powerful, profound impact that we have. And I'm not sure why that is, why people gravitate towards things that are negative, maybe more than that are positive. But it's certainly a way that I have failed. And it's definitely something to be vigilant against. Thank you, Brother Darren.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion about this topic. I think it's a very big thing, big deal. I don't have something I think about a lot. Something I've been accused of and I'm surely guilty of, and I'd really desire understanding about it. I don't know where the lines are. One clue, maybe. I've seen somebody. Anybody ever seen that thing when somebody stands up and then they're about to sit back down and somebody moves the chair and then the person falls all the way to the floor? I just said that. Like it just now, this thing happened. I just said that. I looked at a young guy's face and he smiled. I looked at an old guy's face and he's like, ooh, got sad. And that's the clue right there. I just described a situation and what I saw a person's face scoff and I saw another person's face like get, I don't know what, sympathy or something. I think what I was going to say was that, yeah, that's just something I've noticed. I noticed when I was young, something bad would happen to somebody, and there's a bunch of laughter in a public school classroom. Maybe there's a mixed group. The little ones laugh, and the big ones are like, "Oh no, is that person okay? Oh that's bad." There's this a different kind of reaction. Anyway, that's a clue. Both of those people can say, like, yeah, removing the chair from somebody that's about to fall is not something you should do. Somebody falling and hitting the floor is not a good thing. It makes one person ha-ha laugh, and it makes another person say, that was such a bad thing that person did. I hope that person's okay that fell. We can look at the same error. So, anyway, one thing that gets said is like, you shouldn't notice error in others. You shouldn't notice error. Because if you notice error, and then if you even speak about the error, you're scoffing. And I don't think that's true. We're bound to notice these things. I think sometimes it's good and fruitful to point them out. But it should be with, if somebody's committing error, that's a sobering thing. We should be compassionate towards somebody that's committing error, recognizing either that we have committed the same error in the past, are still capable of committing the same error, maybe still committing the same error, but not to the same degree as that person. And that's really ugly. That's some hypocrisy and a trap. Anyway, we should be recognizing error, getting over error, and recognizing error within ourselves, getting over that error. I tell you, one of the reasons why I would never, pull a chair out from somebody before they were about to sit down, or laugh at somebody who thought we were sitting down, is because it happened to me. Anyway, that can have a big effect on you. Anyway, that's just one clue that I had. Just to be, we want to mature to the place where seeing somebody's error causes us sadness and sympathy.
Talking about pulling chairs out, my mother always taught us against that because somebody did that to her and it hurt her back pretty bad. He just hit it pretty hard, and it was, so she was pretty, I remember, she taught against that.
Thank you, brothers, for sharing, and I just am, it's kind of scary to think about that and think about, like, even in the last week, I've seen tendencies of this in my heart, in my life. I can try to justify myself and say, well, yeah, I've come a long ways. I mean, I grew up with a older brother who just constantly mocked and scorned, basically, like, and why did he do it? Because the world around him did it. That's what comedy is all about. And I can say, yeah, I mean, I've come a long way, so a little bit I do here and there is justifiable, but yeah, like our brother Buddy was sharing, like when we're maturing, we don't get pleasure from people's errors. And I was just thinking when Buddy was talking about that, I was just thinking about how, like, isn't it pride that causes us to want to rejoice in others' errors and make people laugh by, like someone does something that's wrong and then we like mimic them or imitate them in a scornful way, like what Darren was talking about. Like I just think it's like the root of it is probably pride. I was just thinking. Anyway.
I'll just read this, Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin.
I think, Darren, you quoted that verse, right? Fools make a mock of sin, yeah. May the Lord be magnified.
Thank you, brother, for sharing that. It's a subject that I agree with Micah, the world is full of it, and I also believe we can judge our own hearts by our tendency to those things. It is the pride of our heart that would speak down on another, that would scorn another. I appreciate the thoughts that were brought out. I think Darren mentioned it, you know, don't say nothing for fear you scorn, but examine your heart. I believe that's why we're called to restore those in error in the spirit of humility. If we come in an haughty, in an arrogant spirit, not much good will come. I'm blessed to work with a group of men that are very sensitive to these things. You can call out their mistakes, you can correct them, you can guide them, but you will not speak down on them. For whatever reasons, they have varying backgrounds. Some grew up without fathers. They just cannot handle being scorned or spoken down on. And it's been an exercise. It's a very real gauge into your heart. If you feel the need to talk down on someone, to laugh at someone's misfortune, it really, really is cause for self-examination. And thank you, brother, for being brave and teaching on a sensitive subject such as this. God bless you.
I also want to point out to willfully antagonize someone is satanic. It is a quality of the devil. One of his names is the adversary. Someone comes to resent you for the way that you have talked to them or continue to talk to them. The Proverbs also say it is not for no reason, but like the curse cometh not without cause. You know, like, anybody familiar with that proverb? People genuinely resent you.
If people genuinely have learned to resent you, it's usually for a very specific reason. Those things don't just they don't just come up in a person's heart just immediately. They have usually learned to resent a person for the way that they have cultivated a relationship with them. And just like everything, you know, like those seeds, they go down, and sometimes the fruit of what happened takes some time for that person to even think about what you said to them. And then they get so angry with you thinking about what you said that it's hard to pluck up all the roots and get rid of all the fruit and all the seed pods that want to, like, cause more to grow. Those things are hard to get rid of. And I do not mean telling people what you think in sincerity, but I mean, like, to really antagonize someone.
Thank you. Making wise the simple, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of
emotions fall.